You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah.
Live at Chicago Cut, beautiful view of the river. The snow is starting to fall in the city. Charles Barkley will be with us within the hour for at least 2 hours, and it's going to be outstanding. Cap was texting me during the break, and I told him to call the show, Waddle, because he had a good conversation about this, too, and about the cost certainty, and to answer some of your questions, like how this would work. It's a good question, because this year, what does Bryant make? 19?
Right, so, at 20, under just under 20.
So, and then, like, you would take a bigger hit, I would think, for the year with Arenado, and you've wanted to get under the luxury tax at this point. But, again, I do think if there's ever been a situation where the Cubs could be in the catbird seat to acquire a star to sort of make this Chris Bryant thing better. Because, again, like, the Chris Bryant losing an MVP or possibly trading him is usually one of the worst situations you could be in. Here's this guy who you drafted second overall. He won Rookie of the Year. He won MVP. And then now you can't agree. You have questions about him. And then you may lose him. Oh, but you can replace him with a guy who's a comp, maybe even better. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
What did Cap say the Colorado Rockies were looking for in return?
Look, Cap's driving to Peoria now, so I told Cap to call the show, and he joins us right now. What's up, Cap?
Boys, I just got to Peoria, and by the way, if you're driving near Bloomington and Peoria, the roads are awful. Be really careful.
Okay, thanks, because I was going to leave straight from here and go to Peoria
after
the show.
You made good time, though.
I did. I just got in the car, and let's go. But here's the thing, Tommy. I was texting this to Sylvie. If Colorado's in a tough spot because he could dictate with a full no trade, I'm not going there. I want to go there. And from what my sources are telling me, that if he gets moved, he would absolutely 100% approve a deal to the Chicago Cubs. In fact, I think there's a chance he may have already had a conversation with a former teammate who happens to be on the Chicago Cubs.
Listen, I would welcome it. I think it's a better situation for the Cubs because he's cost control. He's a better defender than Bryant. I would keep Bryant before I'd keep Baez. I've made that clear as well, but the contract's going to be significantly
higher. Yeah, I would not.
Bryant.
I would absolutely not.
I know. I've
not.
Heard you say that, but I would. So what exactly would it take? What would Colorado be asking for in return?
Well, from what I've heard, they would want Chris Bryant, and they would want one of your best prospects, and then they would, in turn, probably have to eat a little bit of the money on the Arenado deal. But it gives the Cubs the ability to say to Arenado, okay, you got to give up the opt-out and agree that you're going to be here for 7 years. But they then know, look, Chris Bryant, I can tell you this with 100% certainty. The Cubs do not want to extend him beyond age 33, which would be a 5-year extension. His side, Scott Forrest and company, are saying, no, the top players in the game get 7 or 8 years and a full no trade, and you're looking at Arenado got $35 million. Anthony Rendon's average annual value on his new deal is almost $38 million. The Cubs are not doing that. You want to go 5 years at 30? Yeah, they'd be glad to sign a deal. Chris will never do that. Scott Boras would never do that, and they will not give him a full no trade. He is not looked at in the industry as, look, MLB Network just said he's not one of the top 10 third basemen in the game. Whether you think he is or isn't, that is the perception of it.
Okay, so let me interject this then. Then what is his value to flip for prospects from Colorado's perspective? That's where I'm not telling you it's a bad deal for the Cubs. What I'm telling you is it seems from my perspective it may be a harder deal to make because of Colorado. And I get it, he doesn't want to be there. But if the Cubs are struggling to flip him for prospects or reasonable prospects, why is it going to be any easier for Colorado to flip him for better prospects?
A couple reasons. One, he's the Cubs' former MVP in the World Series. That's A. He's not for Colorado. He's just a widget, so to speak. He's a player, a good player, but he's not emotionally attached to that fan base. Way easier for them to make a deal and say we made a good deal. That's A. B, they get out from underneath this huge financial commitment, and they get Chris Bryant, and they go, you know what? We've got him for $43 million guaranteed for the next 2 years. 18-6 this year, and his arbitration projection after this year is right around 24-5. So he's somewhere around 43, 44 million. So I'm just telling you, for them, their hands are tied if their player says, hey, you know what? I know the Reds want to trade for me, but I don't want to go there. I want to go to the Cubs. Well, it makes it real tough to make a deal if your guy's telling you where he will and will not go. And the Cubs can make this deal and it not be really a bad deal for them. I think they can make this deal, and I think they want to.
If Theo is holding out making a deal for prospects because Chris Bryant was the MVP of the league in 2016, he ain't the general manager that I think he is. Why would trading him? Theo Epstein's job is to make the best deal for his team. Why would the residual, whatever you want to call it, love, respect, or anything, why would that play into any of this?
Because we all have egos, Tommy, and we don't want to make a deal and go, that's all you got back for Chris Bryant? That's not who Theo is. Theo wants to kill you in every deal. That's just his rep in the game. I've had guys, other GMs tell me, love Theo dearly, he's a really good guy, but he wants to kill you on every deal. And so it's not as easy for him to make a deal. But as Sylvie astutely pointed out, sometimes, like the Lakers did, you fall into something and go, whoa. Wait a minute. We've had our hands tied on this Bryant thing, and now we may get Nolan Arenado. And I can tell you, I know for sure, the Cubs think Arenado is a better player, and it ain't close.
And I'm not disputing that. I think we're all in agreement that from the Cubs' perspective, it's the right thing to do. I'm just wondering how easy this is going to be to move
him. It won't be.
That's my only
point. It won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't be. It will not be easy because you're talking about two big-time talents and general managers that want to save face. But if you're the GM of the Rockies who knows I'm having some issues here, I got to get rid of this guy, and then you can say to your fan base, but I got Chris Bryant. Well, then maybe there's a chance that works.
Cap, is there a chance that, and this is complicated too, all these scenarios are complicated, especially this late in the game, but when you have a guy who doesn't want to play for a team anymore, all of a sudden now you've got very motivated parties. So what if, could the Cubs still trade Chris Bryant to a team like Texas or Atlanta, get some prospects back, then turn around and make the trade with Colorado to bring Arenado here?
I guess they could, but then, you know, the money thing has to work too. Are you asking Colorado just to eat money and not get a superstar back? Are you asking Colorado to eat some of the money and get prospects back? I don't know what their view of the future is. Is Colorado thinking, you know what, we make this deal, and don't forget, they were a playoff team in 2018. So I don't know if they're trying to embark on a full-scale rebuild. So that's a question they'd have to answer if they're going to make a deal like that.
I'm not forgetting their playoff team in 2018 because I know who they beat.
Yeah, us.
Exactly. In the wild card game. The double one and done games. The Milwaukee game 163, then the wild card game. That was awful.
Yeah, that was awful.
Well, I think if you're a Cubs fan, you'd be thrilled to have this deal made. I just wonder how likely it is between now and whenever anyone would put a deadline on it. You've got
every
time. I mean, you don't have to get
by.
You don't have
every
to get
day, Tommy,
under
that goes by is one less day of leverage you have with value of Chris Bryant. I'm just telling you.
All right, Cap, good stuff. Have a good call of tonight's game.
Thanks, Cap.
You got it. By the way, Sylvie, your Salukis are looking really good, man.
I know. It's been so much fun. Brian Mullins has rebuilt, or at least replenished, what we hadn't had for years. And it's been a good run so far. So enjoy Bradley tonight.
All right, I'll be listening to you guys all afternoon.
There you go. There's Cap.
I doubt it.
He's getting ready for a Valley game at Bradley. My Salukis are playing Valpo, in case you were interested.
I was. I had that written down.
Yeah, I know you were. So I don't know. These are complicated things, but sometimes the stars just align where you say, you know, like Anthony Davis picked his team. And remember this, all the teams that wanted Anthony Davis? But he goes, you know what? I'm only going to the Lakers. Boston, you could trade for me. I'm not going to sign. You know, and Arenado's got the power because he's got the no-trade clause. So
I think it's interesting in today's landscape for professional athletes, and it's a good question for Charles Barkley when he joins us, whether or not destinations like Miami and L.A., whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers, not just because these are franchises that have been better franchises, but weather and atmosphere and opportunities are more desirable destinations now than they were years ago.
Right, right. Well, if the Cubs don't have to worry about that because everything you just mentioned, Chicago, the best summer city.
Yes.
The buzz and the excitement level for games, the atmosphere, you know what I mean?
So well, like, you're mentioning
people want to play here in the summer.
That's right. But when you mention basketball, I think it's a different entity than it is for baseball.
I used to argue with you 13 years ago when we first started this thing. Well, why can't the Bulls get anybody? Are you kidding? You know what you do when you're in Chicago in the winter? You wear a jacket.
Yep.
But now, as I get older, and I grew up here, and I hate the weather more and more, and you just listen to these athletes talk, you know, Stephen A. today, I was watching First Take, telling you about doing First Take tomorrow where I'm emceeing. Stephen A. lives in New York City. It's not like New York City's so warm. He was complaining that tomorrow the high in Chicago is going to be 1 degree.
Don't think that's not an issue for guys today.
It always is, yeah. So here we are at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Charles is going to be with us within the next 40 minutes. It's going to be outstanding. If you want to tweet us some questions, Michael Wilbon will be with us for portions of this interview as well, right after PTI. He'll be coming over to Chicago Cut Steakhouse. This has been sold out for a long, long time. And we've been talking about doing this for a long time. Yeah.
For years.
And then it's perfect where Chicago is hosting this All-Star game, and we're going to get Charles Barkley today. It's all presented by our friends at First Midwest Bank. Also, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, and Chicago Cut Steakhouse, where we lunched today. They still are. They have omelets on the lunch menu. I had an omelet. Here, Waddle, what'd you have for?
I had a cheeseburger, or just a regular hamburger. I don't eat cheeseburgers. I ate a regular hamburger.
I think their hamburger is one of the most underrated burgers in the city.
It was fantastic.
And
I shared fries with Randy Merkin because that's what I like to do. I like to share fries with Randy Merkin.
I was trying to twist Merkin's arm because he loves peanut butter and chocolate, and they have an amazing peanut butter chocolate cake. But he would not partake this early.
I was going to say, dessert before 2 is a risky proposition.
You drink before, too.
Different.
Different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different.
There's weird stories. Two weird stories I want to present you, Waddle, that's happening in the college ranks, okay? One guy is getting hammered on social media. Another guy got hammered by a friend of mine on text message. I'll bring those two up coming up next.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie, live from Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River, in downtown Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I got some really good audio from our buddy Dan Dawkins to play for you, Waddle. I was trying to explain. I got a text from a friend of mine saying, who is an Illinois fan, Dawkins did the Illini game yesterday. And I didn't see it until the end because I was watching the Bulls and the Blackhawks.
Was the Illini and Sparty, right?
Yeah, and boy, have we gotten any word on the knee injury, too, at the end of that game? That was awful. What a way to end that basketball game. And Illini fans have been so excited to have good basketball return to Champaign. But I want to play you something from Dawkins here in a minute. Also, I don't know what... Have you followed the Mel Tucker story at all?
Well, slightly. I knew he was at Colorado and then sent out a lot of social media messages that he was staying at Boulder and then ended up taking the job at Michigan State.
Right. So Mel Tucker, if you remember, he did not have a high approval rate as the defensive coordinator under Mark Trestman.
I think he rehabbed his coaching image at the collegiate level, though.
He did, as a defensive coordinator. And then he gets the head coaching gig at Colorado and did well. And then Michigan State, after what happened a couple of weeks ago there, now they hired him. But so what's the beef here? Is the beef that he tweeted saying he was staying and then he left? Is the beef that he didn't talk to his players? Word is Colorado didn't want him talking to his players. Maybe I'm just a guy who was close to Northwestern and was feeling burnt back in the day when Colorado was still really good. They were Colorado. They were one of the top programs still.
Yeah.
Remember when Gary Barnett had the magical 95 Northwestern season? Gary Barnett left to go to Colorado.
I believe he had a connection there to begin with.
Yes.
Right, so.
Yes, he
that
did.
Made it easier for
and
him.
And, like, there was talk that before Northwestern was getting ready to play at the Rose Bowl, that he was meeting with Colorado.
Yeah.
This is the they were, like, number five in the country that year. I mean, Northwestern was so good. It was the first year. It was one of the biggest Cinderella stories ever because no one knew you could ever win at Northwestern. It's not like today where Pat Fitzgerald will flash and have a really good year and go to a major bowl game. You know, it's a new day and age, but in my opinion, it all started with Gary Barnett.
The problem is that people are saying is that he's transferring after 1 year, but if you look at it with any job situation, if you have an opportunity to get a better job after a year, you leave. And the big rip on him is that because of the players can't do that same thing.
Guess who's walking in right now?
I think the college
That's
football
it.
Conversation.
What's going on?
Those aren't jeans, are they? Because I got money on this.
What up, bro? We bet on your wardrobe.
I said it
today.
Was going to be a nice dress shirt and some slacks.
Close enough.
Yeah.
I think you do win, Waddle.
I do.
You
Thank
do win.
You.
And you know, the thing that I love, too, about – I mean, there's so much to love about Charles Barkley, who is sitting on the stage here at Chicago Cut, is, again, he said, yeah, I'll join it for a couple hours. As soon as he gets here, he loves to just come on stage and grab the microphone.
Well, he has a gift of gab.
And just talk.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, I am so excited to be in my second favorite city in the world.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When did this happen when Toronto overtook us?
Oh, Toronto is the best city.
But you didn't used to tell us that.
No, this is my favorite place to come hang out during the summer. But come on, man, Toronto's the bomb.
I've never been to Toronto.
I mean, it's been a long time. Listen, if I had to wait till the Bulls to win, I'd never see you guys again.
That's true. Right. We're going to solve all those issues later today.
Okay. Well, I could come see the Bears. Oh, that's another bad example.
Yeah.
I could come see the Cubs. Oh, another bad example.
The White Sox are poised to be better.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And the Blackhawks aren't doing well either these days.
Know,
and
man.
You went to some Hawks games.
You know, I did. You know, one of my favorite players is Jonathan Toews. And Pat, I know Pat. I got a Kane jersey that I wore when y'all were winning Stanley Cups.
Well, Chelly's a friend, isn't he?
Oh, Chelly is a great friend. Yeah. I've known Chelly forever. Him and Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah,
they've been great friends for a long time. But you guys, you know, I love this city.
The weather's not cooperating for you. Right
you know,
now.
As long as it doesn't stick and get crazy, we're good.
Yeah. Well, how have you been,
man? I'm
you
doing
look great.
Wonderful. Thank you. I feel good for an old man. You know, it's. My life has been great so far. Now it's starting to get a little crazy. Because, you know, like the first October, November, December, January, I only work one day a week. And now starting here, all hell breaks loose. Like I go from all-star, right, getting ready for March Madness, then the playoffs are here. But the last 3 months, working one day a week, I got that down to an exact science.
David Flom was telling us that your schedule the next several days is very detailed. Like, you have to be somewhere at 9 a.m. every morning through Sunday.
It sucks, actually. Yeah. You know, like,
can't you call in?
Yeah, okay. You know, like, starting tomorrow, we do our regular Thursday show. That goes, you know, to 1, 2 in the morning. But then I do the tech summit Friday morning. Then we got the rookie stuff Friday night. And Saturday, that's a long night with the slam dunk three-point. That's actually my most fun night.
Is it?
Yeah, that's my most fun night. Then, obviously, Sunday's the game. But it's a long weekend. But it's a really big deal for the NBA.
I think it's a big deal for Chicago as well because most Bulls fans here in town don't have a whole lot to be happy about. But at least they can get juiced up a little bit with the NBA having the All-Star.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, guys. We've had this conversation, and I haven't watched the Bulls play enough. I'm not going to lie. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, it's a good question. My biggest concern is you've got a coach who's not developing talented players. Like, what happened to Lauri Markkanen?
Last time I was on your guys' show, I said, what the hell happened to Lauri Markkanen? When I saw him at Arizona, I was like, this kid going to be the next Dirk Nowitzki. And he has regressed. And I have no idea what happened. You should never regress as a player. You might not. I used this word aggress on TV last week like a damn idiot.
How'd that work? Did anybody point it out?
Oh, yeah, they couldn't wait. I almost blew up the internet. But you should never regress as a player. But I'm so disappointed in Lauri. He has not played well.
So let me ask you this. When is the, because he's a young player. He came out early. His rookie year was very promising. His second year, last year, looked like he had made strides and was poised to be, you know.
Breakout.
So when is that moment in time for a young NBA player where you are expecting him to take the most significant step into being one of those difference-making players?
I think it's the third year. Because, you know, if you go back when we got when you guys were young and I was young, and people talk about a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
I said, there's no such thing as a sophomore slump. They're like, well, the guy got cocky, he didn't work hard. I said, that's not what happened. That's what not what a sophomore slump is. A sophomore slump is when they adjust to you. They got tape on you. But, see, then your third year.
That's what happened to our Bears this year is that this was their second year under that coach.
Yeah.
And people had tape of them. And,
yeah.
So, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's what happened to our Bears.
So now the next move is Trubisky's and Lauri.
They're the same guy.
They're the same. But I'm saying, though, you like that self. Okay, we got all this tape. We made an adjustment. That's why you see those little fluke offenses work like sometimes. Then they don't work once the league catches up like that. Remember that Wildcat thing? Like, everybody's going to run the Wildcat. Like, yeah, it worked for like 6 months, and then you never heard from it again.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's the third year.
Yeah.
Well, you asked what's going on, and I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on what we're dealing with here. And I don't know what your opinion of John Paxson is. I think he's a smart basketball guy who I really respect. I loved him as a player, and I thought he's done some good things with the Bulls. But, Chuck, he's had that job since 2003. And to me, I don't know what you believe in. Do you believe in there's always a time when you just need a new set of eyes or where one guy has tried and then it's time to just say, you're not fired, but we need somebody new to evaluate everything?
I think that's a great question. I'm a big fan of the Paxson brothers. I know John hit the shot. I know Jim, he lives in Arizona. I think it's fair to say, like, we've fired a bunch of coaches and it's not working. We might need to make a change. Because you can only say, okay, I mean, how many coaches do they have?
A lot.
Yeah. A lot. And at some point, you got to say, uh-oh, it's not the coaches.
Right.
So I think that's a fair question.
You have Tom Thibodeau, who's doing well.
Yeah.
They have a fight with Tibbs. And they say, well, you've got to go. He goes, and since then, they've hired Fred Hoiberg and now Jim Boylan, which.
Well, like I say, I got to you look at those Toronto Raptors. They might have the best program in the NBA. The way they develop players. Like nobody in the NBA does a better job of working on players. Boucher, Anunoby.
Is that coaching? Is it the front office?
It's got to be coaching.
Yeah.
You know, they remind me of the San Antonio Spurs, who be getting guys off the scrap heap like a Danny Green or Patty Mills. Like, they coach his staff. When San Antonio was in their heyday, I was covering the finals for NBA TV. And I would go out and get ready for the game because we have to be off by the time ESPN comes on and ABC. And 3 hours before the game, the coaching staff would be out there working with the players on some real stuff. You know how a lot of guys go out there and just get up some shots? Man, the Spurs had guys working on particular NBA game stuff. And then you see why guys do well who on the scrap heap in San Antonio. They must be doing the same thing up in Toronto.
Does Miami do some of the same stuff as well?
I think Miami is they're the best conditioned team because Pat Riley weigh them every week. And I think they
still?
Are very – oh, yeah. He still does that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He weighs those guys every week. Shaq tells,
weighs them.
Shaq tells a story all the time. Dwayne Wade tells a story all the time. Like, he weighs them every week.
That can't be easy, especially with, what is it, we were down there, Prime 112?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're hanging out enough in Prime 112, you're going to be paying all kinds of overweight fines.
Yeah, but I don't think they fine you for being a pound or two overweight. But if you gain 7 pounds in a week, that's a foundable offense.
That's hard to do, isn't it?
That's a foundable offense.
Is it true, Wayne, when you look at teams who go down there, everyone says the smart play is always on the Heat because of especially the teams – who have guys who like the gentlemen's clubs?
Well, I don't even think it's the gentlemen clubs. I'm not going to lie. I think any place that you can go and stay out to 4 or 5.
Yeah, I was going
to
say the bar's open until 5.
If any place you can stay to 4 or 5 in the morning is very dangerous.
I would think the lodge up in, off of Division, they're open till 4 or something. I mean, the same problems, I think, occur for some teams.
Yeah, but it's different, though. In Chicago, it's cold as hell all the time.
That's true.
In Chicago, in Miami, you could have been to the beach all day. You might have been sitting by the pool all day, and then you go out to 4 or 5 in the morning. Like there's times I played where you play a game, you get to Miami at 1 o'clock, and you just go out, and the next thing you see is daylight. I've actually done that before.
It's like Vegas, huh? Miami and Vegas.
Vegas without gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Charles is here. We can't wait to get into some of these stories. I want to hear about your Super Bowl. You always hear good stories from you gambling on the Super Bowl. We're live at Chicago Cut. It's presented by First Midwest Bank. Also, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers and Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Are all these people bankers?
A lot of them are,
Some of them are.
This would be a good time to go rob the bank. Yeah. They're all here.
The one and only Charles Barkley with us. More next.
Sir Charles has made the cut. We are live from Chicago Cut. It's Waddle and Sylvie with NBA analyst and Hall of Famer, Charles Barkley.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Off the spin, taking matters into his own hands. What a move by Barkley in the foul.
Saying hello to one of the lovelies.
Tomagies winds up in the cheerleading section, and Barkley, too. He doesn't want to get up.
There's an intelligent man.
He's a smart guy, that's for sure. Charles Barkley with us here at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Do you remember that when you fell into the crowd?
What they call the bunnies? Yeah, the
Sixer cheerleaders?
No, yeah, was it? I thought that was in Chicago.
Well, was it the Lovables?
The
was
lovable,
that what the Lovables
they call.
Is that?
Yep.
He was reminiscing, talking college basketball at the break over here. Excited about his Auburn Tigers,
well,
it sounded like.
Yeah, my man went to LSU, and that was a heck of a game this weekend.
You like Bruce Pearl, though, as your coach,
I love Bruce Pearl. We're never going to be out-coached. We're never going to be out-coached.
He is one of the sweatiest guys on the planet, too, isn't he?
You know
is
what?
That a sign that he's working hard, or has he just got a sweat gland problem?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
But listen, part of being successful in life is faking hard work.
Yeah.
But this guy is you know he's working his behind off on the sidelines. But I tell you what, we're never going to get out coached. Our coaching staff at Auburn is superb. We're ranked 11 now, I think. We might even be, I don't know, after last week. But we're right there. It's up for grabs this year.
Didn't you just go there to watch the Auburn-LSU game?
Yeah, I did.
Campus?
I did. Shout out to Auburn for making my statue skinny.
Do you have any input in the statue?
I just told him I wanted it skinny. That was the only thing I said. I love going down to Auburn. It's just a wonderful place. We didn't deserve to win that game. LSU blew the game. It was an interesting game. Auburn blew the game. They won the game. They blew the game. Then they won the game. It was an ugly game. But, hey, listen, it's just W's and L's, brothers.
You sound like you've really warmed up, not just warmed up, but you love the college coverage now, that it's something you truly enjoy.
Well, it's a lot of homework.
Yeah.
It's like, I tell people, it's like college, but you have to do your own homework.
Wait. You're telling me you didn't do your own homework at college?
Hell no.
No?
I hope it worked out good for my tutors. It worked out good for Charles Wade Barkley. But if they were smart enough to get me good grades, they should be smart enough to be successful in life. I love college, though.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Baylor's good. Gonzaga's good. I think those have probably got to be the two favorites. And Dayton.
Really? Yeah, I saw that.
That kid, Obi, might be the player of the year, but it's up for grabs, yeah. Man. There's no great team. For Auburn to be ranked number 11, this is a great coaching job, and these kids are playing their behind off because we lost our three best players. And I cannot believe that we're still ranked as high as we are.
Are the college basketball hardcore people done being upset with you guys? Can you remember that when you first started? Weren't they like, oh, my gosh, yeah. These guys should never do college?
Well, first of all, they pissed us off. It ain't like, wait a minute. We don't want to do college. They're making us do college. Like, nobody wants to watch three college basketball games a day and go over all them notes they give us every week. I mean, so that's the only thing that offended me. I mean, like, dude, basketball is basketball.
Yeah.
But they act like we didn't come and say, hey, Wilder and Sylvie, we're going to take y'all radio show. Like, it's like, y'all doing college. We're like, what? We're doing college. And I'm like, we don't want to do college. They're like, well, you got to do it. We just gave them $1 billion. Like, so that's the only thing that bothered us. It ain't like we – and it's been perfect.
Yeah. It's been fun to watch.
It's been great for the fans. I think sometimes the coaches, the players, and the administrators, even in the NBA, forget about what's important to fans.
Well, and then the other thing that you said, it's basketball is basketball, but entertainment is entertainment. And that's what you guys always provide, unlike any other sports show out there.
Well, thank you. Well, the best thing about it, though, is you remember when we were growing up, you only got to see the one game they wanted you to see?
Right.
It's such an innovative thing that CBS and Turner and all the other people did. So you can see every game. Like, you remember, like, remember a couple years ago when Illinois-Chicago had the great run?
Well, Loyola did.
Loyola, excuse me. There's no way in the hell they would have showed them on CBS if it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. They're going to show Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA, Kansas.
But Sister Jean became a
hero.
A hero.
I mean, that was awesome. I actually got a chance to meet Sister Jean at the Final Four, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was in a room with royalty.
Yeah, yeah.
What an awesome person.
Can you sniff out, though, which teams are better coached than others? I know you can do it in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
But can you watch the game and know who's being well coached?
Hell,
and who
yeah. Some of these guys can't coach dead. Yeah. Some of these guys can't coach dead because they'll let a team run the same play.
Yeah.
They'll run the same play five times in a row and score three but get a good shot every time. And I'm like, well, they're going to play that different the second or third time, right? They have one game plan. They don't switch. One thing about the NBA, and especially in a seven-game series, by the time you get from one to seven, you made 15 adjustments.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm watching these college coaches. I'm like, yo, man, you're going to do something different this time, right? And I get frustrated. I get frustrated. I like to see the guys who don't have the McDonald's All-Americans win. That's when you know guys can coach.
Is that why you like to see Dayton do what Dayton does at times, or you see?
Well, Dayton just came out to woodwork this year, and the guy's a friend of mine. But like last year, when Auburn and this is not being a homer, and they gave me a hard time on TV, if you remember correctly. I'm like, okay, we're going to get to the Sweet 16. We're not going to beat Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. But our coach had us so prepared. And then we lost our best player.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I love about Bruce. He changes up. When I was down there Saturday, he switched to a zone. Like, he's like, okay, we can't guard these guys one-on-one. And that's the thing when I'm watching coach. That guy, Wichita State, Greg Marshall's a hell of a coach. I'm trying to think of somebody else who's just a hell of a
Mark
coach.
Mark Few at Gonzaga.
Oh, Mark Few at Gonzaga is a hell of a coach. Izzo's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, you know, Krzyzewski and Roy, those guys. But I'm talking about some of those mid-majors who, like, they upset somebody all the time.
Yeah.
Do you like now that the NBA is going to go back to no more one and dones? If you're good enough, you could play in the NBA?
Hell no.
You don't like that?
I hate it.
Well, what should be the rule then?
2 years of college.
You should be. You're going to make people go to. You just said you didn't do your own homework.
Well, I was there for 3 years.
You're going to make people do their.
You got to find a good tutor for 3 years.
But the problem is, it hurts the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody talks about the great Kobe Bryant, the great Kevin Garnett, the great LeBron James. But they never talk to guys about the guys who suck.
Yeah.
Like, these guys on TV pick out 3 guys who are Hall of Famers, some of the greatest ever. But if you go back and look at the draft, these guys who came out of high school wasn't no good players.
Well, and what they end up doing is they take a job away from a veteran NBA player who can play, because that 18-year-old has to have a spot sitting on the bench, which is costing a job.
Yeah, but the biggest problem is the draft is designed for my team. This ain't fair to the fans. If my team sucks and I draft an 18-year-old kid who can't play, how's that fair to me?
Right.
Like, the draft has always been, my team sucks, I'm going to get a Michael Jordan, a Hakeem Olajuwon, a James Worthy, or somebody like that. But when you draft an 18-year-old kid and people buy season tickets, they're like, wait, my 18-year-old can't play. I don't think that's fair to the game.
But, Chuck, there have been busts taken 5th overall who are 4-year guys. I mean, whether it's Adam Morrison or here in Chicago, we have Denzel Valentine. No, Eddie Curry.
Oh, you mean young.
I'm talking about guys who played.
Gotcha.
You could have lottery picks who play 3 or 4 years.
Yes.
They bust out, too. It's not just a high school thing.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But I just think if you now that's just bad scouting.
I mean,
and listen, scouting's important. That's just some bad scouting out there. Listen, there's a reason the Spurs got Ginobili and Parker in the 2nd round, and they both going to be Hall of Famers. There's a reason that guy up in Toronto has got this Boucher kid, Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs got him.
Right.
They traded down. Like, if you do your homework, you got to have great scouting, especially when you're drafting out of high school.
Yep. Chuck is here till 6 o'clock. We're live at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It's all presented by First Midwest Bank, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers, and Chicago Cut Steakhouse. We got to get to the gambling, the Super Bowl. I got another Auburn question. Remind me of that. Coming up, a certain quarterback who played at Auburn. All that with Chuck is next.
Waddle and Sylvie with Charles Barkley on ESPN 1000. Presented by First Midwest Bank and brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Now, back to The Cut.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Mason Mahomes' magic launches down the middle. Hill, open, caught, and they get it. Kansas City, the big play. First and goal, pass, open, touchdown, Kelce, Chiefs are back in it. 2nd down and 7, Mahomes, Watkins, what a throw! Sammy Watkins out of bounds near the 11. Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown! Kansas City jumps on top. And they have done it. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami. As they win it here in Super Bowl 54.
That was on Fox. The thing I love when we talk to Charles Barkley, our friend here at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, is it's not just hoops talk. We're not just talking NBA. We talk gambling. We talk NFL. We talk life. And how about when you hear that highlight package of Pat Mahomes, what do you think of?
Well, it was very impressive. Because he had had a crappy game.
Yeah, for 3 quarters.
Yeah, so that, and you guys both know, if you got a guy who got the mental toughness to play bad in the biggest game of his life, but still, with 10 minutes to go, they were down. Just very impressive. I was happy for Andy Reid. I've known Andy Reid since my Philadelphia days. I bet on the Chiefs, so I was really happy about that.
Was it a good year for you? On that front? If you have to think about it, it's probably the answer is no.
You know, I didn't have a great year gambling.
No.
I didn't have a great – well, because they kicked my butt on the table the rest of the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your game? What's your table game?
I played blackjack. But I, you know, I go to Vegas. This is my 22nd straight year going to Vegas for the Super Bowl. The best place to watch the Super Bowl.
You always tell us that.
Oh, it's the best place.
So, what you set up where? Where are you? And are you in a? Do you have your own private suites in one of the sports books?
No, I'm in a ballroom with probably 5,000 to 10,000 people.
You have a party, don't you?
It's the casino party.
Yeah,
I'm in a room with about probably close to 10,000 people. They have 400 screens. They give you like a area, like couches. I had about 20 people with me. So we sit on the couch. They bring you food every 5 minutes. I mean, it's crazy.
Can you focus on the game with 10,000?
The thing is great is everybody in there is bet on something. I mean, you got people going crazy after the coin flip. You got people going crazy after the national anthem. And then, like I say, everybody in the room is bet on the game. So the room is electric.
Did you make any prop bets, or were you just straight up on the Chiefs?
I don't do any prop bets. Yeah. They're like teasers. They're sucker bets.
Right. Yeah. Like Waddle. Look, Waddle's got us in. We told you last time. This teaser bet.
Wait, guess what happened?
You play teasers?
Well, I mean, just for you-know-whats and giggles, we had the Chiefs and the over teased and as a parlay. So it's just like a little protection is what it was. So we played the Chiefs in the over and the parlay.
The over was, you could tell that it was going to be under after the first half. You knew it was going to be under.
That's why you need a little protection.
Well, you can lose more, too.
Well, you can, but. We had the Chiefs on the money line, which was basically just taking the Chiefs.
Tell them about last week, though.
Oh, yeah, we bet on the XFL, and we got cracked. But betting on the XFL is just like throwing dice.
You bet on. No disrespect to waiters and bartenders, but you bet on waiters and bartenders?
Pretty much.
We went 0 for 6. We had a parlay.
Are you serious?
Tell them the bet that we had.
Well,
you went 0 for 6?
Now, wait a second. It was in combination. So we had Tampa Bay because we have a connection to Mark Trestman because he ruined our Bears for a while.
One of our great coaches from past.
So we had Tampa and the over, and then we teased both teams, the favorites, and the over in both games, and we went over. All six of the plays.
The favorites lost, and the unders came
in. 0-6. Have you ever gone 0-6? Everyone's gone 0-6.
Last year in the playoffs, I went 0-forever. Last year. Not this year, last year. This year, I was actually pretty good in the playoffs because the home teams all kicked behind. Because I had the first week, I had Seattle against Philly. I won. And I love the Vikings against the Saints for some reason.
Really?
Well, because they were getting like 8, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you're right. It's a big number.
I did not think they were going to win the game, but I thought they would cover.
Do you feel bad when you bet against the Eagles? Or money's money. Money's green. You don't care who you – I mean, Philly has got a special place in your heart.
Oh, it does.
But listen, so does money.
You know me and Coach Belichick are good friends.
Yeah.
I thought the Eagles were going to win that Super Bowl. And I love Bill Belichick.
He's
been a friend for a long time.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it was 2 years ago, I'm like, the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. I just thought it was just their time.
Yeah.
We hear that he's a different guy away from the podium.
Yes.
Totally different.
Totally different. Yeah, he's totally different. But, you know, I think it's very difficult talking to the media today. Because they sparse everything you say. They're like, well, this is what he said, but no, this is what he meant to say. And I have no problem with listen, Bill's been a friend. I've known Bill since he coached for the Cleveland Browns. That's how long we've been together.
And I was playing for the Bears when he was coaching the Browns.
And I'd do anything for him. Anything. Him and Mr. Kraft and those guys, my man Burge, they've been great to me. So I got a number of respect for the Patriots.
You remember that Cleveland team? They had Belichick was the head coach. I believe Ray Rhodes was on that staff. Saban was his defensive coordinator. I mean, it was an all-star staff of coaches.
Ray Rhodes, what a good name.
Yeah. Ray Rhodes then went to Green Bay and then to Philly.
I remember Ray from Philly.
Right.
Oh, that's a good name from the past.
Yeah.
The other question I wanted to ask you about Auburn is Cam Newton.
Yes.
I told you the story off the air about this undisclosed Chiefs player came up to us and told us during Super Bowl week that he thought the Bears were going to get Cam. And keep in mind, our coach came from Kansas City. And he said that he didn't think that our coach trusts Trubisky
Well, he does not.
You don't think he does?
He does not.
How could you?
You can see the game. Like, let me say this here. Me and Kenny, we talk about those in our show all the time. A coach can't give you confidence, but he can take your confidence away. I said that all the time on the show. A coach can't give you confidence, but he can take your confidence away. Now, to answer your question, as great as the Bears' defense is, I think a one-year Cam Newton might be good.
Would you rather have Cam Newton with a questionable foot than Mitch Trubisky healthy?
Yes.
I'd rather have Cam with one foot than Mitch at this point, at least for a year.
Listen, and it's only for 1 year.
Right.
And, listen, it might not do Trubisky the worst thing in the world if he sits on the bench for a year. Let me tell you something. I think one thing that's ruining these quarterbacks, it's just my opinion as a novice now, I want to be clear. They be putting these guys out there too quick, man. And then what happens is the media jumps on them so quickly. You know, you remember Troy Aikman, I think, went 1-15 his first year.
Right, yeah.
That would not go today.
Well, I remember Peyton Manning threw like 30 interceptions his rookie year.
That would not go over today because we got all these people who are on television every day who tell everybody in the media what to talk about for the rest of the day. Like, well, that guy sucks as a quarterback and that guy sucks as a basketball player. And then the rest of the media, like, I heard it and saw it this morning. I've got to jump in. And then I think a lot of times we take these guys' confidence way too soon.
All right. I want to talk more about that. Charles Barkley is with us for the next 2 hours. It's all presented by First Midwest Bank.
Wait, we ain't done yet?
No, you thought we were done. They told you 4 o'clock we were done, right? You're just getting started.
6 o'clock somewhere, isn't it?
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. My man Flom, I love you, man.
He's the best, isn't he?
He is, man.
Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Even though I almost kicked his ass the first time we met.
Oh, you're going to have to tell that story. We'll do that coming up here in 2 minutes.